Just this one. Good. Bless the Lord. So I'm going to suggest to you take notes this morning. I have a new message, not the one I was intending to do. And this is one I've never done this portion before like this. Usually if I'm going to do this, I do it from Romans chapter 10. But this is Romans chapter 4. So let's go to Romans 4. This is for those who are in a hopeless situation, who have no hope in the natural. No hope. God is a God of the hopeless. He is the God of the barren. He is the God of those who need a miracle and don't seem to be able to get there. That's God. That's God. So this morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 4 and start in verses 17 and go right to 24. As it is written, this is the Lord speaking, he says, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Lord, let your anointing be released over this word, that it would penetrate deeply into our hearts, that revelation would flow, and that we would receive all of the knowledge and the wisdom that it is your intention to impart to us today. So if you're going to have a notepad, write number one, the promise. The promise. So in Romans 4:18, there's the promise here. Who contrary to hope and hope believed. Believed what? That he would become the father of many nations according to what was spoken. God told him that he would be the father of many nations. That was the promise. God told him that he was going to be the father of millions of children over time through descendants. That was the promise that God gave him. Now it's interesting that this promise did not come to pass while it was still possible in the natural. That for some 20 odd years, Abram tried a variety of methods to assist God in bringing the promise to pass. But of course, we know that that failed miserably. His desire was to see the promise come to pass. But his natural faith didn't get the job done. That's so important to grasp. His natural faith did not get the job done. Something more was required. He needed to move past his natural faith. Natural faith is hope. It's hope. I hope this will happen. I kind of believe it will because I know the person. But I hope it will happen. That's natural faith. But God allowed 20-some-odd years to pass until Abram came to a place where it was impossible for him to accomplish this promise without supernatural intervention. He was about 99 years old, almost. So was Sarah. They were both really old. And it was not possible for them to have children. So in the natural, there was no hope for them anymore. None. And as I got this morning, the Lord said to me that there are people who are in that position, even here. That in the natural, there's no hope. Or very little. I mean, it's been believing. How many have been believing for something for a while and it hasn't happened? How many are honest enough to say that? Truthfully. Well, there's quite a few here, and there's some who didn't put their hand up. But I'm telling you that there are people in this room that need that miracle grace. They need that miracle grace. And if you'll listen to this morning, God, through his word, will show us how to bring that to pass. So Lord, help us, God, help us. So the promise is whatever it is that you need. Whatever that promise is, you must have a word to stand on. You cannot be vague and sort of say, well, I believe God's going to do this. Well, how do you know he will? Well, I just believe. That's not going to work. There must be a biblical scripture to provide a foundation for your faith. We must have that. We must have that. That's the promise. Then after the promise, what happened here is that years passed. God allowed all natural hope to fade away. All natural hope. Now the Bible says here, verse 19, not being weak in faith. Now that's interesting from two perspectives, because we know that he failed. We know that. We know that he tried this and tried that and that he failed. And that's encouraging for us, because we've all failed. Anyone in here has never failed? We've all failed. We've all failed. But the Bible says, not being weak in faith. So what happened? Something happened to change him from weak in faith to not being weak in faith. Something changed that. And that is the key for foundational faith. That's the key. Because the Bible says he was not weak in faith. Well, that's either true or it's not true. I believe if God said it, it is true that he was not weak in faith. Well, what did he do? Something happened to him. Something changed him from a position of hopelessness to moving into faith. Something happened, and I'm going to get to that in a couple of minutes. But it is incredibly important to catch here what he did, some of the things that he did. Number one is that he did not consider his own body. We could say he did not consider the symptoms. He did not consider the symptoms since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he did not focus on the natural circumstances and symptoms. He didn't focus on them. That doesn't mean they weren't real and they didn't exist. They did. But he didn't focus on them. You may have received, as we have had several times, words from doctors saying, it's done. But if you don't focus on that, you focus on what the Word of God says. You focus on the Word. You're in a situation where you desperately need something to happen, and it hasn't happened. So the symptoms are emptiness, barrenness, just not happening. But we don't focus on that. He didn't focus on that. We know he did for many years, and that's the part that gives us hope. For many years he focused, but then he stopped focusing on his own body. He did not focus any longer on his own body. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God. Now, we know he did initially, but he came to the place where he was able to resist the temptation to waver. He came to the place where he was able to resist the temptation to waver. Now, we're all faced with that. When we are believing God for something that is beyond our natural ability, beyond the doctor's help, we are tempted to wonder. We're tempted to waver. That's just natural. But something happened to him. Something was changing him from a man who was very weak in faith to becoming a man of faith. In fact, he's called the father of faith. So something transitioned him. Something changed him. Something changed the way he was and what he believed. Thankfully, God tells us. He tells us the things that he did. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. We waver through unbelief. And the Bible's very clear in James. If you waver, what are you going to get?
Nothing.
Nothing. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. Unbelief will produce nothing. But he was strengthened in faith. We could say his faith started to grow. His faith began to grow. So he was a man who had little to no faith to a man who was growing in faith. He was growing in faith. That gives us hope. You can grow in faith. You can grow in faith. You can grow in faith. How do we do that? How do we grow in faith? Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. He was giving glory to God. Now, what a wonderful thing that is. But for our point here, it is extremely, extremely important to recognize that he was actually moving in faith. He was moving in faith. Because at the beginning, he was weak in faith. So for us, as we are weak in faith, how does faith come? Where does it say that?
Romans 10:17.
Faith comes from hearing and hearing. Now we know that does not mean that if you just hear the word of God once, faith is there. What does it mean? It means that we're taking that word, that promise, and we're depositing it, and we're soaking in it, and we're speaking actively over that word, that it is real, that it is true, and that it is working in us. Okay? So he moved from weak in faith. For us, the application here is, if you're weak in faith today, you don't give up. If the promise has not come to pass up until today, you don't give up. You take the word of God, the promise of what it is you're needing and expecting and believing, and begin to soak in that promise. Soak in that promise. Soak in that promise. But then it says here, giving glory, he was strengthened in faith, his faith began to grow by giving glory to God. By giving glory to God. What does that mean, giving glory to God? See, that's a key factor in strengthening your faith, giving glory to God. What does it mean? What do you hear when you hear that? Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What do you hear?
Thanking him before you get the answer.
Okay, yeah, that would be part of it. What would you do before that even? What would you do?
Praising God.
Praising God, okay.
Speak the word.
Speak the word. Who wants to give me an example of something? All right, I'll do it myself. When my face and body were covered with symptoms, ugly red symptoms, okay, what was it called?
Rosacea.
I had one of the worst cases of rosacea the doctor had ever seen. And told me that basically there was no cure for me. That I could avoid this entire list of foods, which was longer than the Bible, starting with coffee. Or I could be on medication until, you know, soaking in medication. But that was my choice. That was my life. And I turned to other Christians looking for help. And was told, there is no help. There is no help for you. So I turned to the Word of God. And God said, He himself bore this infirmity and carried away this disease. So a decision had to be made. What am I going to choose to believe? What am I going to do? The symptoms, which were staring me in the face every day, or the Word of God? And most of you know the story. I lost the healing twice over a 2-year period. It was discouraging, depressing, embarrassing. But I chose to continue to believe God's Word. So what I would do is this. I would say, thank you, God, that I am symptom-free. I thank God your Word is true. I receive that Word, Jesus. I receive the Word of God that I am completely healed and I don't have one symptom on me. I believe God and I thank you for it. I thank God for it. I thank you for it, Jesus. I bless you. And then I get up the next day and there would be more on me. Okay. And I'd look at that and for a moment I would go, oh, jeez, God have mercy on me. And then I would make the decision again. Thank God that I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm thanking you, Jesus. Not one person stood with me on this. Do you understand that? So don't complain. Don't complain that you don't have 50 people believing with you. I didn't have one person in my entire church who would believe that God would heal me. Not one. Not one. But I got up every day and I said, thank God I'm healed. Thank you, God. Thank God I'm healed. I thank God that His healing power is flowing into my body. That God is healing my body. I thank you, God. You are my healer, Jesus. You are my healer. You are my healer. You are. I thank God. The Word of God says that He Himself bore this infirmity, that You sent Your Word to heal me, that I am the Lord that healeth thee, that by Your stripes I am healed. I memorized every healing scripture in the Bible. That's how I know where they all are today. I soaked in them. I soaked in them. For months. Months. Not a day and a half. Okay, not a day and a half. Not 2 weeks. Months I did this for. Months. Months. Every day. Every day. Every day. Then after many months, I got healed. They disappeared. And I, of course, was delirious with joy. Told everybody about it. Not much of a reaction from people, but there certainly was when the symptoms came back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When the symptoms came back, they were more than happy to share their opinion then. There were lots of opinions. It was very discouraging. Very discouraging. And I became very discouraged. Very discouraged. Mm-hmm. For quite a while. And then I said, well, you know what? Something must have worked somewhere because they disappeared. So I started the process again. I started the process again. And I won't belabor the point, but I went on and on. The same thing happened. The symptoms disappeared. I waited a couple of days to make sure they weren't coming back. And then told people I was healed. Then they came back. That was incredibly devastating. You want to talk about discouragement? That's discouraging. It was devastating when that happened. Absolutely devastating. And I was severely, severely tempted to completely give up on God and His Word. I got to tell you, I was severely tempted. And probably did for a little while, in truth. But then after a while, you come to the place, what am I going to do? Like Peter said, you know, in John chapter 6, Jesus turned to Peter and said, are you going to leave too? And Peter didn't say, oh no, I love you so much, Jesus, I'll never leave. He didn't say that. He said, where am I going to go? You know, it's not that I love you so much, Lord, but where am I going to go? Well, that's where I was. Where am I going to go? And so finally I came back to it and I said, God, I am going to believe you or die in this. And I started the whole process again. About 18 months here we're talking about. You know, this is not something that just happened in a couple of weeks. We get up to 18 months. And then one day I got up. And in my spirit, please hear this, in my spirit, not in my soul, but in my spirit, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, John, you're healed. I've healed you. Now, if you looked at me, I had symptoms everywhere. I did not look healed. I did not look healed. So I had a choice to make. What am I going to do? So I said, God, I choose to believe you. I believe I'm healed. I believe that. You have witnessed to my spirit. And it's not something you can teach this. This is something that comes to you. But in my spirit, I knew I was healed. And I said to Christine, I'm healed, completely healed. And she looked at me and said, you're nuts. Now you've lost it because symptoms are everywhere. They're all over me. They're still there. 3 days later, they disappeared and never came back again. That was 30 some odd years ago, I guess. Now, that's a long time. My back, same thing with my back. They were going to fuse my back because it was so bad. They were going to fuse it. And the people I know who had that done are crippled for the most part. But I had the same situation to face. So I'm not talking to you here about something that I have not had to live through. I've lived through these things. I know his word works. I know when he told me my back is done, that was in April, I believe, in April. March, late March, early April. And I couldn't move. I could not move because of my back. It was in such a bad. And they were going to pension me off on, what's that, what they call it there? When they, what somebody said?
Disability.
Yeah, they're going to pension me off on disability, which was quite appealing because it's an index pension and it's tax-free. It was at that time. And so I said to myself, great, I'll get pensioned off. I'll never have to work again. Then afterwards, I'll believe God to heal me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, no, we won't do that. We won't do that. You may have this or you may have that, but you're not getting both. So I had to choose. Do I want to be healed or do I want to be pensioned off? Well, believe me, when you're in that kind of pain, the choice is very direct and simple. But it took April, May, June, July, August. 5 months. Now, I already knew Jesus is my healer. I already knew him as my healer. But it still took 5 months. 5 months. But after the 5 months, on Labor Day weekend, I moved Pastor Sid Curry. I don't know if some of you know him. I moved him. Okay? I lifted his fridge and stove off the ground and put it up on the truck. Now, you can't do that when your back's done. You can't do that. I'm telling you, God is a miracle worker.
Amen.
God is a miracle worker. When the doctor told Christine, Dave's done, it was the same thing in your feet. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? When they're looking for cancer in her body, when you had the stroke, you know? I'm telling you, God is a miracle worker. These are not things that I'm telling you from my head. We have lived through these things. We have lived through them. God is a miracle worker. And he'll do for you what he'll do for anyone else. If you will believe. But see, we don't want to put ourselves at risk. People laughed at me. They did. I didn't melt. People made fun of me. People thought I was ridiculous. I can remember praying over the child in the emergency room there. And doctors standing there coming and going, waiting for me to be done. You understand that? If you're not willing to stand and be counted when the test is there, you won't break through. You won't break through. God will do for you what he'll do for anyone else.
Amen.
God will do that. God will do that if you will believe. But you have to resist the temptation to waver at the promise of God. Resist it. Resist it. He did not waver. And what happened is that by giving God glory, by strengthening and growing in faith, verse 21, he came to the place of being fully convinced that what God had promised, he would do. It took him time to get there. It took him time to get there. But something happened to him. God showed up at some point in his life and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. What does Abraham mean?
Father of many nations.
Father of many nations. So in one year, 24 years, he got nothing. But in the last year, by calling himself what God said, he became father. He became a father. You've got to call yourself what the Word of God says you are. Mm-hmm. You've got to call yourself. If you're too shy or embarrassed or to speak the Word over yourself out loud in front of other people, now I'm not talking about being rude and going, you know, and being obnoxious. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying simply to acknowledge openly that God is your miracle worker, and to do so with your voice. With your voice, the miracle will come to pass. Well, he came to a place of faith. He didn't focus on the symptoms. He began to praise God and give glory. Something happened to him. His faith began to mature. His faith began to mature. His faith started to grow. And eventually, in time, his faith turned into genuine, genuine faith. Genuine faith. Real faith. Bible faith. And something happened there. Verse 22. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you know what that means? That means God said, faith accepted. Faith accepted. You will come to the place where God will look at your faith and say, done. Done. Now, he's not doing anything different today. You read through the Gospels most of the time. Most of the time. Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? And they would say, yeah, yeah, we believe. And he said, well, okay. According to your faith, let it be to you. Do you see what he's saying there? God is not playing favorites here. He is saying the same thing Jesus said. Jesus said, do you believe I can do this for you? And they said, yes, Lord, I believe that. And he said, well, he didn't just say, good, done. He said, according to your faith, let it be to you. So if you're not getting your answer, your faith's not there. Something's blocking it. Something is blocking it. And you need to hear from God what it is. You need to, it may be unbelief, it may be something else. You need to hear from God. But he'll tell you. The Holy Spirit, he may say to you, you're almost there. Keep going. Or he may say, you need to change this. Or he may just simply say, you haven't even started. But you can. You can. You can come to the place where he says that. Now, does that apply to us? Well, let's just see here. Verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him. So that it applies to you and me. It applies to you and me. If we will apply our faith and start right where we are today, but see, if your faith is weak or your gas tank is empty here, you got to fill it up first. There's no point in trying to speak the word that's not in your heart. You know what I mean? So to stand and say, oh, I believe God, miracles here, God's word. If you haven't taken that word and you haven't put it into your spirit, your tank's empty. Your tank's empty. And you've got to first fill your tank. And you do that by soaking in the Word of God. You soak in that Word until it becomes so real to you. Then you make up your mind, I'm not going to be ashamed before God. I'm not going to be. The greatest miracles I've seen I have to do publicly. Publicly. To do publicly. Now, I didn't look for those opportunities. I didn't say, oh, God, please put me in a position where I'll feel so embarrassed. I didn't do that. I didn't have to. But it'll happen. It'll happen. And it's not to be arrogant. Not to be arrogant. But if you don't soak in that word, you'll never do it. The faith won't be there. Our faith grows and our faith matures. It matures. It matures. That's the wonderful news. Faith will mature in you. So if you're not at the place right now to receive it, you don't have to quit or give up. You can decide to continue and grow. And God will honor your faith. God will honor your faith. He's looking for an opportunity. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth looking for an opportunity. He's looking for an opportunity. Someone who will choose to believe his word. Someone who will say, God, I believe your word is true. And stand on that word. Stand on that word. You know, I at the beginning I used to think, you know, God, why are you making it so hard? Why is it so hard? And I realized that if I hadn't done that then, I couldn't have done the things that came later. You know, the things that came later were even harder. It takes, it's got to be real in your spirit. It's got to be real. I'm telling you, it's got to be real. Absolutely real. Real. When Christine was in the hospital and the doctor was trying to say, cancer, 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 and even had someone in the bed beside her, and they came and announced it in front of us here, she's dying of cancer now, dying of it. That, you know, that chips away at your faith. It chips away. I don't care who you are, but that's threatening. It's threatening. And you have to make a decision then. If 10,000 fall at your side, not me, because I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe His word to be true. I believe the word of God is true. You have to come to the place where you believe God's word is more real than the circumstances. Peter got out of the boat. But that wasn't the end of him. He failed many times after that. You have one victory? Great. But it doesn't mean it's over. It's maintained day by day by day. And I'm going to tell you, there were some days I thank God I don't have to pray for anybody because the tank was empty. But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Life has a way of draining you. That's reality. Life has a way of draining you and draining your faith. And people in general don't like people of faith. They don't. That's true. It is true. I'm telling you, it's true. You know, I've been told by others, you know, you have a special gift from God, nobody else has it. Yeah. No, that's not true. I don't. God will do for any one of us if we'll believe. Anyone. 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 If we will choose to believe. If we will set our heart on the promise and follow it through. And allow faith to begin to grow in us. And grow in us. And grow in us. Till it comes to the place where it's mature faith. And it's faith that knocks down walls. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. God, let this word penetrate our hearts. Let this word become so real in us, Jesus. So real. So real. God, we believe your word to be true. We believe the word of God to be absolutely true. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Take a moment and think about what it is that you need and want from God. Something perhaps you are struggling with, maybe even given up on. Bring new life to it. New life. Biblical life. Spiritual life. Let God quicken His word to that. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. That's His role. And the Holy Spirit's there to guide us. To show you a promise in the word of God. That applies specifically to what it is you need and desire to have. That is biblical. It's got to be biblical. But if God promised it, He wants to do it. He doesn't make promises in vain. Every promise, the Bible says, every promise is yes and amen through Jesus Christ. Every promise. That's the word of God. That's the truth of the word. And God wants to do it for you. He wants you to have it. He has prepared it for you. He's paid for it. It's just waiting for you to come and get it. But you receive it by faith. You receive it by faith. And if your faith isn't there, then you've got to invest in it. You've got to invest yourself in the Word. So ask Him. Ask God. Lord, what can I do? What promise applies to this? Soak in that promise. Speak that promise. Receive that promise. And give glory to God through all of it. Amen.